This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum. Please turn off your cell phone and please move forwards. Parents are requested to make sure their kids are with them all the time.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما اعلموا عباد الله أن أحسن الكلام كلام الله تبارك وتعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد عباد الله my dear brothers and sisters, in a few days, we shall see some people disappear from our lives. They vanish. And every now and then someone would say, where did this brother go? What happened to that sister? In a few days, a lot of people from around you will just kind of like, they go away. And then when you wonder, when you ask, you realize they have taken a journey to the divine. They're going to Hajj. And they're preparing from themselves for a journey that nothing like that in this world, in this life. A journey in which they leave everything behind. They leave all their valuables, their loved ones, their friends. They leave their homes, they leave their money, they leave everything that they have worked so hard for to earn in this dunya. They leave all of this to go and embark on a journey to experience simplicity for a few days. A taste of the hereafter, a taste of the akhirah. That's what they're going to be going to. Something perhaps as much as we tell people get ready for it, as much education we provide for people, seminars, workshops, books to read, videos to watch, but there is nothing like experiencing al-Hajj. Because for people, when they go to Hajj, it's nothing but really the taste of the akhirah. And subhanAllah, when it comes to Hajj, for us, those who are going to stay here, stay behind, the journey is still going on. You never stop going to Hajj. But our journey is taking longer. Our ultimate goal is not just to go and visit the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our ultimate goal is to go and visit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how it is. This khutbah is not about Hajj, don't worry. It's still too early for that. Well, I'm going to share with you five things that would resemble al-Hajj in your life. Five things right after the month of Ramadan, the human psychology shifts to a different direction. From finishing the month of Ramadan, celebrating the Eid and taking a break for a few days, and then suddenly you start thinking of Hajj. If you're going to Hajj, your psychology completely changes. Your spirituality boosts up, subhanAllah. And if you're not going to Hajj, and you still wish that you would go to Hajj, and seeing all these images and seeing all these beautiful things people they experience in Hajj, you also go into the mood, even if you're not going to Hajj. There are five things and five ways I would like to share with you that resembles your journey to Hajj, but while you're living this life until you meet your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why is that? Because obviously if you ask those who are going to Hajj, why? I know, they want to fulfill one of their religious duties, there's no doubt about it. But some other people, they want to go to Hajj because they want a getaway. They want an escape from this dunya. I mean, when you watch the news, it's depressing. Expect what's going to happen in the president elections this year. I mean, it's depressing for many people. So what they want an escape. They want a getaway. And there is nothing like going to Mecca. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنًا وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the house that Allah azza wa jalla had there in Mecca for us. وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ When He established and we made this house, مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ The word مَثَابَة in the meaning of the word mathaba, which means people yathubuna ilayhi marratan ba'da marra. People, they keep going back and forth to it. They're going to keep going back, you know, to it over and over again, over and over again. Ask those who've been to Hajj once. Ask those who've been to Umrah. How often they would like to go to Umrah? They would say, I would love to be there, never leave. And when they're there, what do you want to do? Every time they have a time or break, they would go to Mecca and they would make tawaf. That's the meaning of it. They would always want to be in the presence of the divine. It's a journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah said that we have made this house a place for people to keep coming back and forth. But what is the point of that? That is the word al-haneen wa shawq, longing to the divine. The people, when they travel back home, they start longing to return back again to Mecca. Even they just came back from it. But they want to go back again. This is exactly where we are today in our lives. Ya jama'ah, on earth we're all immigrants. Our forefather Adam came from heaven, came from Jannah on earth for a reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows why. For a hikmah, for a wisdom. And we are part of this test, part of this divine plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are going to go through it. And as we go through this plan of Allah azza wa jal, for all of us subhanahu wa ta'ala, we always longing to return back to where we came from. We return back to Allah Azza wa Jalla, to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Didn't Allah Subhanahu says in the Quran in many, many ayat, إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ, to me you'll be your return. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We all belong to Allah. And we all, one day we're going to return to Him Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. What's the meaning of this return? It's up to you how to interpret that. If you want it to be happy, then take the path of happiness. Otherwise, it will be difficult. So this is our journey to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Eventually we are returning to Allah Azza wa Jal. So what are these things that we have? The first thing that we learn about Hajj and our life is this longing to meet the Divine Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Ash-shawq wal-haneen ila liqa'illah. You know, I don't know how many of you have experienced Hajj before, or maybe have seen people experiencing Hajj for the first time in their lives. But I've seen that a lot. I've seen people coming for Umrah for the first time. One of the things that subhanAllah, I love to see when I have when I go with people going there for the first time, I'd like to be in their company a little bit. Why? Because I know when they come and they start getting closer to the Masjid al-Haram and to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they start shaking. Their hearts get softer. And it's unbearable feeling for them, like they can't wait any longer. They want to be there, they want to see it. And subhanAllah, the moment they see the Kaaba and their eyes, you know, on the Kaaba, they start crying. They raise their hands with dua. And you yourself, you experience that multiple times, you get desensitized, but when you see people, they encourage you, they remind you. And you watch and you cry. SubhanAllah, how beautiful is that moment which is longing to the Divine Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And that is the meaning of making this house very special house. All of us, we experience Ramadan before we go to Hajj. And subhanAllah, right after Ramadan, the iman is very high and up. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We all have the hope and the expectation that Allah accepted from us the Qiyam and the Siyam. And we all have the hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have witnessed Laylatul Qadr to be forgiven all our sins. We all hope for that. But then right after this, subhanAllah, when we see ourselves start slacking and going back to our old ways, then we look in Ya Rabb, I don't want to go back to where I used to be before Ramadan. Ya Allah, help me move forward, not backward. Hajj comes, and that's when our minds shift there. We start hoping and wishing to go there again. And as a result, maybe it becomes a motivation. Maybe it's better for me to continue with my good deeds. And for those who have made the intention, they maintain momentum. Because they know, when you go to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you shouldn't be going there carrying a lot of burdens from Ramadan until Hajj. Maybe you're carrying the burden before Ramadan. So they maintain a better attitude, better akhlaq and manners until they go and they meet the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. The short period between Hajj, between Ramadan and Hajj, just 2 months and a few days. And we are now in the Al-Qa'dah, so we have less than a month actually for the Eid. It means the Hajj is beginning very soon. So the short period between Ramadan and the season of Hajj is a reminder how short life is. How short it is, subhanAllah. I mean, you barely finished Ramadan and now you always see Eid al-Fitr was just a few days ago. And then suddenly you're celebrating Eid al-Adha like, wow, that was so quick. That's what life is. It's going to be so quick. Whether you live 20 years, 30, 40, 50, more or less, it doesn't matter. In comparison to the eternal life in Jannah or otherwise in Jahannam, may Allah subhanahu protect us from this. This is nothing. What is the life in dunya but being a temporary and very short life to live? As a result, when you now attach your mind and your heart to the Divine Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, and to the Akhirah, then you're always reminding yourself and you always have that longing to that moment of meeting your Lord Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. I've seen some people, by the way, they go to Hajj and they don't wish to go back for where they came from. Not because of the oil that exists in Saudi Arabia, not for that. But because that spiritual experience they had for a few days or for a few weeks, subhanAllah, you can't put a price tag on that. For them, I want to be there. And that's why they have something called Al-Jiwar. Al-Mujawir, someone who just lives there in Mecca or Medina, Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they retired there. All what they do is ta'abbud, devotion, ibadah, worship, service. That's all what they do. And they stay there. They attend durus, they make their own ibadat, subhanAllah. Because that environment is an amazing environment for them. I've seen people like that. They don't ever want to come back again. Washaqi, and the miserable one, Allah al-Musta'an, is the one who has been deprived, experiencing or tasting that longing to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because I'm sure we all know there are some people, they have no plan to go to Hajj. They just live in their lives. And when you speak about Mecca for them, it's just like speaking about any other city. When you speak about the Kaaba, it's no more important than their own, whatever they have here in this place. Anything. They don't have that desire, that burning desire to go and meet the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a shaqi, that's the miserable one. The one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taken from their heart, that love to meet the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So make sure, during those next few days, as you see people going to Hajj, keep reminding yourself that you are already on the path. You are already on that journey to meet your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make our meeting of Allah azza wa jal pleasant, ya Rabbil Alameen. And make our path to Him pleasing to Him, ya Rabbil Alameen. The second thing that we see the Hujjaj, they do, and we start getting to think about ourselves in this life as well, is the preparation. Preparation for Hajj. I mean, you're not going to go for Hajj empty-handed. You're going to have to prepare yourself with money. You're going to have to prepare yourself for, you know, with luggage. You prepare yourself with legal documents, whatever that is. People, they prepare themselves for that. You're going to have to prepare yourself even physically. People, they start exercising, hitting the gym, mashallah, eating in a healthy diet. Why? Because they know it's going to be tough there. You're going to have to bear the heat of Mecca and Medina. So they prepare themselves for that, subhanAllah. They're taking all the physical precautions right now. But there is something much more important than that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the context of speaking about preparation for Hajj. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَتَزَوَّدُوا تَزَوَّدُوا, which means seek that provision. Prepare yourself. فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى. But He said, remember, the best provision you can get, the best provision you carry with you is your piety to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. التَّقْوَى, righteousness and piety. And that is the preparation. This is the kind of provision that you always need to harvest on your way to Allah Azza wa Jal. Money, muscles, whatever that is, that's the easy part. Nothing. But what you need to worry about is you really your spiritual preparation. The zad that you carry with you. This zad, this provision is light in terms of weight, but it's the heaviest in scale. You know, at time of crisis, when people, they leave their homes, what do they carry with them? They're not going to carry the biggest thing. They would carry the smallest thing, the lightest thing, but the most valuable. And that is what you carry with you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your house, your money, whatever that is, not as valuable. But when you meet your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, you prepare with taqwa, with righteousness. So as the hujjaj, they start becoming much more spiritual. Much more practicing. And they start coming to me as an imam and they ask me, what should I do? How should I prepare myself for Hajj? And I ask them, you should have done that 20 years ago. But you know what? It's never too late. Let's push the reset button and start from today and get ourselves ready for it, inshallah ta'ala, spiritually, physically, and so on. And the most valuable thing is, again, taqwa. Piety and righteousness. See, Allah Azza wa Jalla again says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. SubhanAllah, what is the meaning of the zad al-taqwa? People would never understand that until they visit the graveyards and the cemetery. Until you visit the cemetery, subhanAllah. How is that? Because that's when you see how people, they're laid in their graves. What do they carry with them? Regardless how wealthy they were. It doesn't matter. Were they millionaires or billionaires or whatever they are. When they come down there, they're carrying the same thing. They were wrapped with the same shroud. How expensive that is anyway. It's the same thing. That's when you realize, okay, subhanAllah, the best provision you carry with you on that journey is going to be the lightest, but the most valuable. And that is taqwa. Number three, when you look at the hujjaj and how they prepare themselves for hajj, you see that the hujjaj, subhanAllah, they have this kind of spiritual transformation. Spiritual transformation of submission and obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, suddenly waking up for Fajr becomes easier for them. Suddenly. Come up from the masjid for Isha, it becomes easier as well. And when you tell them to quit that habit or this attitude, that sin, it becomes easier. Why is that? Because they know they're now closer to meet the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine each and every one of us here, knowing and observing that we are on that journey, and every single day, every single moment, every single breath brings you closer to meet your Lord on that journey to the divine subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine this is the case for you. What would you do? That's when you start observing better. That's when you start asking. That's when you get yourself ready for it. So you have this spiritual transformation. And Al-Hajj, wallahi, will remind you of that and keep take you to that route. Especially that we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That Allah says, I have not created al-jinn and ins, but to worship me. So we know that the Hajj is all about worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let your life here be in accordance to that principle and that concept as well. That you worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what do I get out of this anyway? Like most people who go to Hajj, why are they going to Hajj? Because they want to have that escape, that getaway, that spiritual escape for them. They want to have that peace and tranquility. And in your life, in this dunya, as you move on that journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering Allah azza wa jal, provide that peace and tranquility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Those who believe and their hearts find peace and tranquility in the remembrance of Allah. Indeed, in the remembrance of Allah, hearts find peace and tranquility. So when you remind yourself of that, troubled times, watching the news, you get depressed, you receive an email or a text message that reminds you of something difficult that you had to deal with, what do? You remember Allah brings you peace and tranquility. And subhanAllah, those who are living peace and tranquility, they're much more productive in life. They can face challenges easier and a better way, instead of those who are always, worried because they're far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time something distracts them, they come off that road and they'll go somewhere else, instead of sticking to that road on that journey to Allah azza wa jal. Number four, what do we learn also from Hajj in regard to our life today? If you look at Hajj, Hajj is very emotional experience. Extremely, extremely emotional experience. Probably some people, they go to Hajj and they will cry. They will shed tears in a few days, more than a lifetime. That's if that experience touches their hearts. If they go there just to get over with a religious duty, with one of the obligations, I wonder if they're going to have that experience. But if you truly want to shed these tears of Allah for Allah, for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, that's where the preparation begins until you get there. It's an extremely, extremely emotional moment. It starts all the way when you go to Hajj, when you start getting ready and you start putting your ihram. When you take off all these fancy clothes that you have, by which you identify yourself, you identify your culture, you probably identify your socioeconomic status. It's all gone. And now you put same two pieces of clothes basically on you, like everybody else. You walk out of down the hotel base in the streets, no one can tell where you came from, or what you represent, or what socioeconomic status it is. No one would recognize that. Especially on Arafah, if you go out with the public and your clothes get dirty, you become sweaty and disheveled, subhanAllah, nothing would tell where you came from and what you represent in this life. And at that moment, when people realize how significant all these material gains in this dunya, because they're gone in an instant right now. Imagine when you stand up before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when people are resurrected on the day of judgment, they would be resurrected what? Like the day when they were born. Nothing. No IDs, nothing to identify them before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's an emotional moment for many, many people. Another emotional moment, seeing the Kaaba for the first time. And subhanAllah, I mean, a personal experience, I always love the moment when as you walk and you start seeing the Kaaba in the sahan, in the court, and as you come closer and closer and closer, it's very noisy. It's very noisy in the musalla area because of the roof and the ceiling and so on, until you go into the open court. Suddenly in the open court, all this noise disappears, and you can only hear just the chanting and the humming of the crowd around the Kaaba. Very majestic. Unbelievable. The harmony of the crowd. Big circle. It's so beautiful, so majestic. Wallahi, you stand there and raise your hands and make dua. Very emotional moment. That's when people, they go also to Arafah. And they sit there, they know it's a time that is the most precious. And they keep making dua and dhikr until the last hour of the day of Arafah. The most emotional moment for many people. They cry and they cry and they cry because they know, subhanAllah, 30 minutes left, 15 minutes left, 10 minutes left and 5 minutes left, and they keep wondering, am I one of them? Am I one of those who have been selected to be forgiven? Am I going to go back again like the Prophet promised? كيوم ولدته أمه, like the day when you were born, which means clean slate, nothing on your records, but good. Am I going to be one of them? Very emotional moment. A lot of people, they, subhanAllah, they break down. And those are the things that we need to keep reminding ourselves in this dunya as we live in this world. We always prepare with good deeds and emotionalize our experience with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with our ibadat. You come to Salatul Jum'ah. Why? To check your emails while the khutbah is going on? Is that what you're going to do? Is it the time to take your nap until you go back again to work? Is that how am I going to experience my ibadah, my standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When I start my Salatul Dhuhr or Asr, am I start getting ready right now to view everything I need to do afterwards? Or should I focus on this moment I'm standing before Allah, being given the opportunity, another opportunity, to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before I'm gone? That's an amazing emotional moment. Keep reminding yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us, وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَإِذَا هُم مِّنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ. Allah will give the command for Israfil to blow in the trumpet in the sur. And people, they will come, as he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ, from all paths, all their graves, all sites, إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ. They're walking from all directions. And if you've never seen that site before, I want you to try walking from Arafah towards Mina at the end of the day of Arafah. That's when you see the crowd walking, marching, and subhanAllah, amazing sight. Rivers of human bodies walking together. That's when you realize this is a moment that we're going to remember when we walk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Akhirah. And finally, the last thing we remember is before we go to Hajj, a lot of people, they make sure before they leave to Hajj that they're carrying no liabilities towards anybody. They want to free themselves from the dhulm, al-ibad in particular. They want to free themselves from committing any injustice or any wrong against anybody. So what do? They go to do what we call tahallul. So they go to people knocking on their doors, speaking over the phone, sending emails, public message on Facebook or wherever. And they put that and they say, Jama'ah, I'm going to Hajj this year. If I owe you anything, please let me know. If I've done anything, please forgive me. We're all going to receive these emails very soon. Sometimes we think it's trivial, but some of these people never come back again. They never come back again. And it's true and it's serious. Because if they die there, subhanAllah, that's it. There's no return. Why not doing it while you're still alive today? You are already on that journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, Allah azza wa jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنُعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاتَّقُوهُ وَأَطِيعُونَ يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ مِنْ ذُنُوبِكُمْ. Allah says, أَنُعْبُدُ اللَّهَ, that you, Nuh alayhi salam telling his people, that you worship Allah azza wa jal. وَعْبُدُوهُ, أَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ, وَاتَّقُوهُ, and now have righteousness. وَأَطِيعُونَ, and obey me, follow my command. Command of Nuh alayhi salam, يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ مِنْ ذُنُوبِكُمْ, he will forgive you some of your sins. The ulama, they say, he said, forgiving you some of your sins. He didn't say all your sins. Why is that? Because yes, Allah will forgive a lot of your sins, but if you have anything, if you wronged any human being, that's going to wait until the day of judgment. Unless you seek that forgiveness from that individual in this dunya, the Hujjaj will be coming to you and asking for forgiveness. Make sure that you are on that path, seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for those who you wronged in this dunya before your time. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. If you don't mind, come forward, جزاكم الله خير, so we can have more space for the brothers, inshallah, in the back. الحمد لله رب العالمين. صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ثم أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, this reminder that I shared with you here, probably we need this the most in these difficult times that we live in. Again, like I said, in reality, hitting us hard. Muslims are always under, you know, kind of a surveillance. They're under attack. They're under, you know, how the media doesn't give you a chance even to breathe, and there's something happening and you always feel guilty for it, and then it becomes difficult. It's not easy for today to be a Muslim, ya jama'ah. Not even in the Muslim world, wallahi. So people during this time, they want to have this moment of tranquility and peace. Where can I get it from? From people, I tried them. I tried reading books, I tried things and so on. What is it? It is nothing like coming back closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The strongest shield is with Allah azza wa jal. Subhanallah, Lut alayhi salam, when he tried to defend the three angels who came in form of human beings from his people, he tried, he felt they were overwhelmed. And then he said, قَالَ لَوْ أَنَّ لِي بِكُمْ قُوَّةٍ لَوْ أَنَّ لِي بِكُمْ قُوَّةٍ أَوْ آوِي إِلَى رُكْنٍ شَدِيدٍ. He said, I wish that I have strength, I'm strong enough to defend them and keep you away from them. أَوْ آوِي إِلَى رُكْنٍ شَدِيدٍ, or could rely on some strong support. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Rahimallahu akhi Lutan. May Allah have mercy on my brother Lut. He was relying on a strong support. That's Allah Azza wa Jal. This is what you need to do in this dunya. You are already on a journey, whether we like it or not. That journey is to the divine. You have the option to experience every second of it in the most positive way. And I'm going to tell you that you indeed relying on strong support. That is Allah Azza wa Jal. May Allah fill your heart with iman, ya Rabbil Alameen. أو التقوى أن صلاح يا رحمن يا رحيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها مولاها عباد الله إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وارض اللهم عن خلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن سائر الصحابة أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وأقم الصلاة